This is a CKTZ News Update. I'm Louis Belcourt.
The Campbell River and North Island Transition Society are looking for private safe homes to volunteer to shelter women and children fleeing abuse on Cortez. The Campbell River and North Island Transition Society works closely with the Cortez Island Women's Center to help provide services for those in need. Safe homes are needed to provide shelter and resources for those experiencing abuse. I spoke with Tanya Henk, the founder and manager of the Cortez Women's Resource Center, about the need for safe homes and services in a remote community like Cortez.
Why don't you introduce yourself?
My name is Tanya Henk, and I am the founder and the director of the Cortez Island Women's Resource Center. We opened up in January 2019, and we've been providing a resource space for women to work on not just safety and providing that kind of work with women, but we also have space that women can work out of, do school, used as like a office space. We provide free food. We've got resources that connect us directly to the Campbell River and North Island Transition Society, who is like our sister organization that we fall under.
So how did you begin working on the Cortez Women's Center?
Started as a concern for the amount of domestic abuse that was happening on island, and there was very little action regarding it. And it seemed to be something that at that point I'd watched for over 10 years and it really didn't seem to progress. So that really was the initially what kind of started the conversation about bringing together. But then it was also like, what do women need on the island? What do women need to be able to financially support themselves? What do they need to be safe, to have housing, and those types of things? So it became a space for women to come together and work on things. We have workshops when they can be provided. COVID really took the life out of some things for us there, but this fall we're going to be starting up again with different kinds of workshops and things like that as well.
Great. What resources does the Women's Center offer to someone that might need them?
We've got free long distance on our phones here, and it's a space that can also be closed off. Sometimes there's counseling that happens in the space as well. We've had women have needed to connect with police. We've done that through this space. We can assist with those types of things. We aren't a crisis center, but we often bridge to help to the crisis, connecting them with them through the Campbell River North Island Transition Society, or in supporting them and calling police. And we often can call the police on their behalf and just ask them questions that they might be wondering about and things like that. It's a space where if people need to have privacy away from home or kids, and they can make a private phone call if that needs to be to lawyers or to family. We can help women create a safety plan. We're actually going to be getting a storage unit. So as far as if women need somewhere safe to put their things in during a time of transition, we can help with that a bit more too. It won't be a lot of space, but it'll be something.
Why is a women's center important on a small remote community like Cortez?
It's something that most small communities will say that they will benefit from. And when you talk with the organizations, like with Campbell River, when I first started talking with the Campbell River North Island Transition Society about opening this space, they were really pleased because they are already so spread thin that to try and make outreach, especially when we're especially remote with the island thing, but even communities like Nelson, and then you go into the further out communities, Nelson has a great women's center. But sometimes if it's an hour drive away, things like that becomes really difficult. And because we have issues with being able to leave the ferry stops running at 6 kind of thing. So the idea of being able to get into your car and to just drive away or keep driving till you got to family or friends or something like that. Where here it's so small that it's not hard for somebody else to drive around and know your hot spots and that kind of a thing. So the safety is a pretty big deal here.
Yeah. Absolutely. Tell us about the current need for safe homes and how someone could help with that.
Right now, we are definitely looking for safe homes, especially in the summertime. We tend to lose some of them, as traditionally they tend to be like maybe an Airbnb or something that gets Airbnb'd out. So we lose some of those locations in the summertime. And so that's why we're definitely looking for more. We're needing more right now. But and something that could be a year-round available, I think, would be beneficial, but that's obviously not always possible. In the summertime, we lose some of our houses. So that's a time that we feel a shortage, but we can always use more houses on the list. And it's up to the individual who has a space to provide, how long they can provide it for, how often the intention is for it to be just for a night or two. But that leads us into the bigger question of what happens after that night or two. And one of the things that we really need as a resource is to have something that could be used for 2 weeks or a month, something like that, whether that's a trailer or if it's a cabin, and something that is possible and also has space for women and their children. So that is on the safe home, the immediate thing that we need is things that are available for, it would pretty much be like an on-call kind of thing. And people can say like 1 week in a month we're available, and then it would be a different location. And it's all confidential. Nobody knows where the locations are. The other safe home providers don't know. And safe home providers are interviewed, and there's the process of, and support is given as well. So it's a matter of doing a little bit of an interview process and see if it would be feasible for them and all those kind of things.
Okay. Where would someone go to contact to potentially volunteer their home as a safe home?
Emily is the safe home coordinator out of Campbell River North Island Transition Society. And the number to contact her is 250-286-3666. Or you can email her at safehome@annelmorehouse.ca.
Great. I wanted to ask, what resources do you wish that you had more access to or unique access to? And is there any forms of support that you would want to call out to from the local community or even from the government?
Realistically, we love our space. So one of the things that we're facing is that it's gotten pretty cramped for us. And ideally, we'd be able to provide office spaces, even if that was just one or two. And then that way things like counseling could also happen within those spaces and it wouldn't have to close down the whole center. Office space is something that was like been, and a larger space to create this, which is, that looks forward into government plans and all sorts of a bigger one. We certainly are always in need of financial support. So that's a pretty constant. One of the things that's tricky with most of the grants that are accessible is that they don't cover things like your rent and your bills and your staffing and things like that. You can usually get them to provide certain different kinds of services or workshops to get certain supplies that's needed and things like that. But that's where the financial gap has happened. And hopefully with COVID, hopefully there'll be some more government attention to that. And so it'll be easier to access grants that provide that kind of support. The Canadian Women's Foundation was an amazing support to us over the time of the COVID and to so many women's programs across Canada that helped keep them running and successfully running during COVID. So now we're back at ground zero for different funding pockets and grant applications and things like that.
Could you use volunteers?
Yeah, we'd love to see some more volunteers that are interested in holding space at the center. And that could just be a matter of having an interest that you like to share with people. We have book clubs, movie nights. We'll get up to our potlucks, having regular potlucks again, hopefully, too, once fall happens. So if anyone is interested in providing, we also have women who are providing courses and art lessons, tutoring. So if there's something that someone is interested in providing out of the space, whether that's something that is just as a volunteer on a weekly kind of level or biweekly level. Yeah, anyone that's interested in using the space. And then something that we do is if someone's interested in providing something and that there's a charge for it, that we keep it minimal and we ask that 10% as a suggested donation go back to the center. So if somebody wanted a space to do some sort of a workshop, they could do that out of the space and they could charge for it. And usually we find with members, it's either free or by donation, but for everyone else, it can they'd be able to charge a typical fee.
Okay. How does one become a member of the Women's Center?
You just contact us, then we give you a little orientation and a walkthrough of things. And you can contact us by sending an email to CortezWomenCenter@gmail.com. You can also find us on Facebook, the Cortez Island Women Resource Center, and send us a message there. You can leave us a message at the center as well at 250-935-6501. But that number isn't checked every day. Checked definitely a couple times a week.
What would you say to someone that is feeling like they're running out of options and thinks that they may be experiencing some form of domestic abuse and is considering trying to reach out and contact the Women's Center?
I would say to contact us in the same methods that I mentioned before. But what my suggestion at that point would be the same information that I gave for the safe home, Emily. She's our outreach worker, and she does counseling with women every 2 weeks who are either experiencing currently domestic abuse or have in their past. And we consider domestic abuse to be verbal, emotional, financial, sexual. It doesn't just have to be physical abuse, coercion, manipulation, things like this. Emily is the person that I pass people on to, and she basically from there can provide support, and you can go forward with her, and she's a great person for people to talk to. People really like talking to her. There is also a 24-hour helpline, which actually starts through the same numbers as well. It's 250-286-3666. And there's also a 24-hour text, which is 250-895-1773 if it's not safe to make a call.
Those are great resources. I think that's all I have, unless you have some other tidbits of information or just any closing thoughts you want to give.
We're looking forward to this fall being different, fingers crossed, and being able to start providing more things within the community and being able to gather more and connect more, because that was a big part of the center when we first opened up, was having that space for women to connect and gather and come up with great ideas and things. So we're looking forward to that coming together more. I really appreciate your care and your time about this topic.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for meeting with me, and thanks for your time, Tanya.
Okay, thanks so much, Louie.
Visit cortezradio.ca/cktz-news to find this article with the contact information needed to get in touch about providing a safe home.
Louie Bocor, CKTZ News, Cortez Island. CKTZ News is brought to you by the Local Journalism Initiative, the program funded by Heritage Canada and administered through the Community Radio Fund of Canada.